0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until three today. And now, many of you may have seen a video that was put on up online recently of a group of animal rights activists who were liberating, I think that's the word they would use, liberating lobsters from a lobster tank in a city centre restaurant in Dublin. This is something that has happened sporadically around the world in the last number of years, and of course a big row out there in the animal rights world about whether or not lobsters feel pain. How much pain do they feel? Is it cruel to boil them alive? Are people still boiling them alive? Anne, good afternoon to you.
Hello there, how are you, Katie?
Where do you stand on the lobster question, Anne?
Yes, well, what happened was a year or so ago, I made friends with a man who said he was a Buddhist, but he worked in a restaurant and he said he boiled lobsters. And I questioned that, and he said that it was because they're a smaller animal and therefore it doesn't count as much. I thought at the time, well, if you're going to kill an animal, kill a big one like a cow, because then you can feed loads of other people. But it was funny that I broke up my friendship with him, and then a few days later it came out in the news that in the UK they had banned, they're going to be banning painful ways of killing lobsters, including possibly burning alive. And I thought it was like kind of karmic that I had kind of broken my friendship with the Buddhists for that reason. And I thought, well, if it can happen in England, why can't it happen in Ireland? Now, I had been campaigning. In fact, I often had to stand with a picture of a lobster outside a restaurant because I didn't do the active entering like some of the other activists in England when I lived there. And I was very happy to see that it has helped. Like, anyone who contributes has helped. Now, I'm not saying this is going to change the killing of lobsters, but according to what I understand, there has been research done by the London School of Economics with the Royal Veterinary College just to verify what we would usually believe anyway, which is that even if the lobsters and other crustaceans, like in Ireland, we fish for brown crab, velvet crab and spider crab, they still have feelings even they don't have a spinal cord. They're the external shell is their protection and their kind of like their back, their spinal cord, bone to keep them, you know, to keep them like we have our back. And they only let that's why their flesh is so tender. They only let themselves out of their shells when they're molting or mating. Now, again, it's not just about the giving a more humane way of treatment, but we also have to look at the side of what are we getting out of this now. Crabs and what I was very surprised to find out at the time, and now we know more about, is that crabs, brown crabs and lobsters can live up to, well, brown crabs can live up to 100, but the average lifespan in the wild would be maybe even 50 years. And they have a very slow gestation and reproduction. So when you fish for them, obviously there are rules. They have to be over a certain size. But you could be actually stopping them, like lobsters. They can produce 40,000 spawn. You're actually stopping a lot of more of the lobsters or the crabs coming back into the pool, genetic
pool.
But
Anne, can I take you back to what happened in Dublin city centre in the last couple of weeks? These activists who actually went in and took lobsters out of a fish tank, out of a lobster tank, I should say, in a restaurant and, released them back into the sea.
Well, what I could see on the internet was only one from 2014. I don't think that, or 2016. I couldn't see a more recent one.
Oh, no, there is one from just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
that has been widely shared, yes.
Well, I did actually discuss this when I first rang about the issue. I did actually, personally, I wouldn't do it. I would see more it's a question of not buying the product anymore, because if you stop the demand, I have seen a lot of lobsters and crabs in, like, for example, in Asian shops, in the wrong type of boxes. You know, we know that the excuse for boiling them is that they might have more viruses than other animals.
I don't think that's an excuse now. I do think there's an issue that you can't actually eat lobster meat if the lobster has been dead for more than a couple of hours. I think there is an issue about toxins in that meat. But anyway,
that's what I meant. Yeah. But the thing is, they're supposed to be go through the, what's the water cleaning process called anyway? So if you put them in back into a shop box, like the way I've seen them, then they would be recontaminated. But if you actually...
Can I ask you, Anne, do you eat meat yourself? Do you eat any animal meat?
No. When I lived in England, I know it's been hypocritical, just because sometimes I've eaten fish doesn't mean I agree with it. But, we're all hypocrites in the end, because I've got a dog and, you know, you might want to buy... You would buy dog food for the dog. And I'm not saying that just because I would buy dog food for the dog, it means that it's good to eat lobsters. You know, I just happen to be raising the issue of to make people aware that lobsters can live a very long life. They're, by taking them out of the genetic pool early, and they're also not only reducing the pool of lobsters and crabs, but also the zooplankton for all the other fish in the tidal
waves. Suppose you could make the same argument if you eat fish, Anne, or if you have eaten fish. You could make the same argument for salmon, or, you know, there's lots of other issues around overfishing of fish.
Yeah, and that's why I try not to. Like, I occasionally give in, but I don't know if salmon lived 100 years, but they also... there's the stocks of lobsters now. They're trying to protect them, lobsters and crabs, but again, I don't think that they're boiled alive. The only thing that this new Animal Welfare Act is protecting is to stop them from feeling pain. So I don't think they've included the fish in the research, but they have definitely done 30,000 studies on crustaceans. And they have definitely come to the conclusion that they do suffer pain. I mean, I would have thought that anyway. But
I think there was, if I look, looking up a little bit more into this, that there was some study that suggested they didn't, because they have a very rudimentary nervous system back in the early noughties. But I think subsequently there's been further studies that suggest that they do actually respond, and they release the stress hormone in response to pain.
This is what I was wondering, because if a lot of the Irish vets and all these organisations are related to the English London School of Economics and Royal Veterinary College, then they will have to implement it probably. Or the fact with Brexit now, a lot of the companies are distributing to England and to Ireland. So if they can't distribute or do the same things in England, they're going to turn to use Ireland as their new market anyway, and that's going to be a further push. Yeah. And then on top of that, they've got the fisheries all around the coast.
Sorry to interrupt you, Anne, but do I see here? Did you actually attempt a rescue mission yourself?
Yes, that was a bit of a failure, but that was like 25 or 30 years ago. I'm quite old, you know. And I was working in a law firm in London as a temp, unfortunately. And I went to the local market and there was some crab, and I took three of them and I hid them in the bathroom in a bucket. And what I didn't know at the time was that everyone was wondering whose crabs these belonged to. What I didn't know at the time was that you couldn't cover them in plain, non-salted water. So then I did the 2.5-hour journey by train to the nearest town that had a sea. And by the time I got there, to be honest, I think they're 90% sure that at least two of them were dead.
So you murdered those crabs, Anne?
Well, the next time I found a crab, I actually went into Tesco's and bought some crabs. And I was going to go all the way to the local sea. That was about 5 or 6 years ago. But I saw I asked some people who were getting on the train. I said, can you carry these crabs and release them into the sea?
You stopped random people and asked them to take your crabs and liberate them.
It was like 50 or 60 pounds to go there. So
so you've made a number of attempts to rescue crustaceans over the years.
Well, the last time I did it, I went to, I think it was Southend, and all there was, like, saw so many people, a lot of foreigners going off because the tide was out, just picking mussels and crabs. And I thought, well, there's no chance, they'll just be brought back to the table, which is why I think it'd be better to just change, like, just if people are aware that, first of all, it's causing pain. Two, crabs and lobsters can live very, very long lives. In fact, considering what we live on, the HSC, they're probably much more long lives than we do without any medical treatment. And three, they'll be contributing so much to the environment, to the ecology, like they're giving food back to the fish, other fish to eat, that they might actually stop. Now, the lobsters used to be called the poor man's food, because there were so many of them, and they're starting to try to do agreements between Ireland and Spain, where they're actually having lobster farms, which again isn't a great idea, but, you know, for the freedom of the animal. But if I'm to choose to eat a fish, I prefer one that's just had a decent life in the sea than stuck in a cage. But they're trying to do things like they cut the tail of the female to show which ones are carrying eggs. Now the female lobsters don't actually carry the eggs, and they don't fertilize them immediately. They only fertilize them in the spring. Mm-hmm. So in the spring and summer, and that's the time when the fishermen are allowed to people are allowed to catch lobsters like normal public. But most of the commercial fishing goes on around then.
As you say, and like the legislation that they're talking about now in the UK, and I think it's already in places like New Zealand and Switzerland, is about the humane killing of lobsters if they are going to be eaten.
Yeah.
So would you have any issue about it if a lobster is humanely killed before they're
I wouldn't eat any
cooked
lobster. I mean, I don't eat most animals. I mean, I sometimes, as I said, I might give in to a bit of not salmon, maybe I like maybe the odd time salmon. Now, the only exception would be if food was being thrown out. If a fish or a meat was being thrown out, then I would think it's worse to kill the animal and throw it in the bin than not to eat it. So I would definitely, you know, have a nice big burger if it was going into the bin. No worries with that. It's just the treatment of the animal.
You have no queasiness about eating meat at all, really?
Well, actually, there are certain animals, like, for example, I could not touch lamb or calf or anything like that. I just could, the taste would remind me that it's an animal. The only one sometime would be the odd fish. In fact, I wouldn't even eat pork, like, for many years. I haven't touched, I gave up all meat slowly, gradually, you'd say, yeah.
Okay, and will you hang on for me there, Anne, because I've got Paul on another line. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, where do you stand on the lobster question?
I disagree pretty much with what Anna's saying. I do agree on one item she's brought up about overfishing of fish and lobsters and shellfish and so on. I have two uncles who fished for lobster all their lives. They would also catch brown crab as well, which is not, they don't intentionally fish for it. That's the kind of an accident. That just ends up in the pot. I've seen them cook them. The emotive language that's being used, for example, being boiled alive, I think that's slightly emotive. What I've seen them do is a pot of boiling water, the lobster is dropped into it. It flaps for maybe 2 seconds, maybe three, and that's it. Now, that's the lobster killed.
That's being boiled alive, Paul. How else would you describe that as, except being boiled alive?
Okay, all right, okay. It is being boiled and it is alive, but how long that lasts for is the point. It's 2 to 3 seconds. Now, I work in the marine industry, not in anything to do with fishing, but because of where I work, I'm down around harbours, marinas and so on all the time.
Yeah.
It's a regular occurrence. Pretty much every day you see this. A large seagull, a herring gull or a blackback gull gets an unfortunate crab who came up the weed a bit too far, gets hold of it, takes it onto the marina, turns it over and opens up the shell and starts eating it. He's in no hurry.
So it's being eaten alive. It's being eaten alive, literally.
The crab is quite literally. I've watched them do it. It lasts for maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. The crab is still moving. It's still trying to get. It's not going to get away. It's upside down. But this is being eaten alive.
But that's nature,
crab,
Paul. Paul, that's
one
nature.
Moment, if I was if I was a crab or a lobster and I had the option of being dropped in boiling water for 2 to 3 seconds or eaten alive, I don't think I'd be going with option two. Now, it is nature, and the way crabs and lobsters end up dead is that they're eaten by something else that has no means of killing them other than to eat them. We have the means to do it, I would say, far more humanely than what's happening to them in the wild.
And you've not, sorry, Anne, I'll let you back in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the poll there is sounding like you think that I'm saying these things, but the research there, I'm just saying what the research says on the grounds to make the new law. Now, from what they said, it's 3 minutes, but you've just said it yourself. You can see the animal flapping around inside the shell for 3 or 4 minutes while it's been eaten. So I'm presuming that when they put in boiling water, he can't flap around because, first of all, he's in water, and the boiling water would make him want to stay hiding in his shell. So, I mean, the actual procedure of being killed would take minutes, but that's... I personally would have thought it would take even longer, but I'm just...
Have you seen it happen?
No, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to. I'm just looking... I'm actually talking about what's written on the report, but, I mean, for example, I'm a great supporter of campaigning against the soy dogs being boiled in China. And I don't think when they go into the water, it only lasts 3 or 4 seconds either, you know?
I don't know about that because I've never seen that. And it doesn't sound very nice, But the point I'm making is that a dog is not generally torn apart slowly by another animal, so that when if we kill them, it's a more humane thing. I think that's completely different, and I agree with you. I think that's a different matter. I think a dog is also far more of a sentient being than a lobster is.
Well, the thing is, I mean, a crab or a lobster, the ones that would be caught would probably be the ones that might be less strong. I don't know, but we're talking about going to the bottom of the sea where they're safe. I don't know how far out it is. I know that it's the six mile or 7 kilometre limit. I know that you can trawl or you can go, and all people can go with their fishing boat and maybe get 6 buckets a day now, isn't it? But one lobster a day.
Yeah, exactly. It's not you don't trawl for them. They're caught in.
Yeah, but I'm saying but the commercial ones can get this, not trawl, sorry, not the net, sorry, the net to the bottom of the sea. So they would
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're completely wrong. You can't use nets for lobsters because lobsters are in rocks, in the crevice in the rock. They use lobster pots, or sometimes called creels, that have fish, usually rotten fish.
Yeah, but they're hanging from nets, aren't they? They've got strings or something. And the point is, they're going to places where these lobsters would have been safe if it was more safe from birds if it wasn't for humans. So you're going to catch more of them.
Yeah, and I don't think lobsters live. What you're saying is how long that some crabs and lobsters live for. I'm sure they possibly do in the perfect environment, but if they end up with a prison. I don't believe they end up in some kind of lobster retirement home at the end of it where they just
But what I'm saying is when the internet says 50 to 60 years, I'm presuming they mean in the natural environment and not in the ideal environment. It says there. I'm just looking what the studies say. It says minimum 30 for male, and 50 for woman. But, I mean, in the end of the day, we're looking at species that don't mature till they're at least 10, I think it says, 8 or 10. So, and then on top, if they're only sexually reproducing every 2 years, by taking one out of the equation, you're losing a lot of...
Can I ask you something, Anne? Would you have the same issues with, say, oysters and... Yeah. Mussels and clams.
Because I don't eat any shellfish.
But we don't have people liberating oysters mussels or clams.
Well, I did liberate shellfish as well.
Well, you did. In fairness, you did try and save the crabs. But again, I'm thinking like crabs and lobsters seems to be because I suppose they kind of turn up in cartoons. We kind of make them into little people.
Oh yeah, I wanted to mention Liam the lobster. He's on YouTube.
Yeah, but that's my point. Is that are we? Like surely an oyster probably has the same sensory.
Well,
I don't know, but does it have the same sensory ability?
Here in Ireland, are they going to be following England or not? Now, with Brexit, all the Irish, English Brexit, they're all coming to Ireland now. Everything's easier to do here, cheaper, you know, whether it's university students or anything from Europe. So will the problem be transferred over here? And like the same as we've had with divorce, now we're going to have genetic, changing genetic cloning, abortion. Well, that problem will be, at some point, the Irish population will have to face it.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with that one, Anne, but look, you know what,
if you can walk in from a supermarket or
No, you know what, Anne, if you can hold your thoughts, and I need to take a break, but please stay with us, and Paul, stay with us, we'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, I just want to find out a bit about how are lobsters killed now, because there's some suggestion that the Paul was saying, I think, Paul, you were saying your uncles would just drop them in the boiling water and have no qualms about that.
Correct. Now, I know there is, I think in the UK, they've started the, some animal welfare people were concerned about this, and they did bring out a spike that is, you can actually buy them online, that you line up with the lobster's head, you hit it, and it drives it through the brain and kills it, apparently kills it instantly. In Switzerland, they made that mandatory about 15 years ago, and now in Switzerland, it is illegal to cook lobsters.
In the boiling method?
No.
By any method?
It's illegal to cook, yes.
Oh, right.
You can't, yeah.
You can't eat lobster, you can't order lobster
Wow. No. Okay. Apparently, there was only 200 or 300 a year being sold, so it was no big loss. They didn't seem to be bothered by it. Yeah.
Okay, will you stay there, Paul, because I've got Gary Anderson on the line. Gary, have you boiled a few lobsters your time?
I have indeed. But when I started out cooking 24, 25 years ago, it would have been done that way. People did just place them into a pot of salt and boiling water. But I would say for the last 10, 15 years, I have never seen that practice. I personally would be skewering them through the brain.
In that way that Paul was describing there, is it?
They go limp instantly, and then they go into the boiling water and cook for 3 to 4 minutes.
But they're actually dead before you put them into that
dead
water.
Before they go in. Yeah, there's no, I mean, absolutely, I would agree. They felt pain doing it the other way, and I would never want that to happen. It wouldn't be a practice in my kitchens. So I think it's good if they legislate for it, that there is a humane killing process, and that it's trained through the tourism colleges and the catering colleges.
And that's the way if you're in catering. Sorry, Gary, but if you're in catering college now, that's how you're taught how to cook a lobster.
Yeah, there's huge practice towards animal welfare at the end of their lives. I mean, I've been through all the slaughterhouses for beef, for pork, for poultry, and those animals do not suffer at the end of their time. There's no stress. It's a very humane process. Now, I've seen the videos on the internet, but that wouldn't be what happens here in Ireland.
Right. According to Paul, it does happen, though. You know, and maybe not in professional kitchens, but
a lack of education.
But I mean, when people buy lobsters, which you can do still, you can buy them online. You can get them delivered to your house. Actually,
yes.
I doubt if they have these spikes at home to, you know, humanely. Would they know the anatomy? Would people normally know the anatomy of a lobster to be able to do what you do in your kitchens now?
I mean, maybe this is just education. I mean, there's YouTube for everything right now. I mean, I've watched Gordon Ramsay videos where he's done the complete dissection of lobster. Anybody can be educated if they want to be right now. But maybe that's something to look at and to run a wee campaign to get our fishmongers and suppliers actually give a little note on how to humanely kill a lobster and cook it. But I think that those conversations happen largely across the board. The fisherman that would be doing it would have been raised doing it by his grandparent. My grandfather was a fisherman of lobster and crab, salmon, all that. And it's a really important part of the fabric of rural communities. It's an industry, it's a way of life, it's a cultural thing. You know, it'd be terrible to see too much activism taken away from what is yet another resource that's been stripped out of rural Ireland.
But just going back, I mean, it strikes me that almost all, you know, everything else we eat, most of the things we eat, like you'd never think of buying a lamb and slaughtering them yourself at home. But this is one of the few foodstuffs, you know, live foodstuffs that you're expected to actually slaughter yourself before you have it for dinner.
I think anybody that's gone fishing knows that they have to kill things. I mean, there's hardly a child or an adult in Ireland that hasn't caught a mackerel on a line at least once in their life, you know, or a trout out of a river. We're not silly.
It's slightly different from a fish, though, I think, the lobster. The idea that you would actually have to find some way to kill a kind of a wriggling live thing in your kitchen.
There's very little movement there. You hold the back part of the lobster and you can just line up the knife and pop it in. It's quick, it's simple. Something I sell an awful lot of in my restaurant because I am very conscious of stock levels. I would do them as a special maybe 2 to 3 times over the summer months because I'm aware of the fact that they are carrying eggs in those months. So, you know, it should be a rare treat, not a mainstay of your diet.
And are they horrifically expensive now, Gary?
They always have been. Yeah, they are expensive. But I mean, but those people,
like, how much are we talking about? For like, if we were buying them wholesale,
for
or
a meal, A legal-sized lobster last year would have been around €14 coming into a restaurant.
Right, 14, 1-4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much? Yeah, like, well, obviously, you would be charging.
And it depends then by weight. You know, that's not a standard price, but that would be the very least you would be paying for a lobster.
But I've seen lobsters on menus for like 50, 60 euro for a lobster.
Yeah. It's up to every business then what they charge for them. There's an awful lot of labour, there's a lot of time and energy that goes into the dish. So they kind of put at a price point quite often where you don't want to do volume on that item. Because of the amount of labour. I mean, you could fillet a piece of fish and be done with it in 2 or 3 minutes, whereas the lobster might take 7, 6, 7, 8 minutes of work just to get it out of the shell, and then you've got to do something with it after that. You've had to cook it prior to that. There's a huge amount of labour. It ties up the chef for a long time.
What about crabs then? How do you kill crabs?
Crab, I don't feature live in the restaurant. I buy them in from a company called Ward's. So they've done the killing and pre-preparing process for me.
And do we know how they are killed normally?
As far as I'm aware, they would be going into a hot vat or steamer, but I've never done that factory tour.
Right, okay, so we don't know really what kind of an end those crabs meet.
But going back to the fact that people think that they will have a safe life out at sea, you know, they don't. Seals eat lobsters. Cod, haddock eat lobster at various stages of their life as they're younger. It's one of the reasons that they need to have so many eggs in their bodies, like an awful lot of, is because there is in nature a high attrition rate of those types of shellfish. When they're very young, they're dinner for everybody. Just like as they get bigger, they eat something else. It's just part of a food chain cycle. You know, we have to not overfish it. But I don't see any harm in us having whatever we want in moderation.
So when you see those videos then of those animal rights activists liberating, as they say, the lobster. What do you think?
I think it's ludicrous. I think it's unfair on the businesses that are having their stock stolen. I think if you want to liberate a lobster, go into your local fishmonger, buy a live lobster and go to the beach. Not even the beach, go to a rocky area and drop it off there gently. You've got to know how to release them. You've got to make sure that they're in a good, you know, safe place that they're not going to get, they're going to be a little bit weak after having been out of the water. So they need to be gently placed back into the water. But go ahead, spend your money and release them. That's your privilege. But I don't think theft in any shape or form, for whatever reason, can be acceptable.
And do you think, as you say, the methodology now, as you say, is very humane in the dealing of this. Do you think that's widespread right across every kitchen, or do you think that in some kitchens they may be going with the old-fashioned method?
I would think it's mostly, in my experience, and I can only speak from that it would be done humanely. And I mean, I know there's also been practices where maybe bigger places that have walk-in freezers, they would place the lobster in the freezer where they kind of drift off into a deep sleep, and then they would be put into the lobster pot. It's just an alternative method of doing it. Mm-hmm. I personally think skewering is more humane than the freezer, but I've no research to back that up. It's a personal feeling.
Yeah, I have to say the freezer does sound like a fairly grim end of life scenario as well. Gary, many thanks for that. Great to hear from you. Your own place up there is the, get the name out.
Well, we have two. We have Anderson's Boathouse Restaurant, and we also have the Killybeg Seafood Shack. So
okay, so it's a place you won't be getting much lobster there, but you get plenty of other seafood there.
You'll
over
get it
the summer.
Occasionally, yes, but it's not a main part of the menu. Yeah.
Okay, Gary, I hope I'm up there sampling some of your wares at some stage this year.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Gary. Can I bring in Brenda? Brenda, you were.
Hello.
Hiya, Brenda. How are you?
Good. I just listened to Gary there.
Yeah, and?
Well, he's making a business.
What is
he has restaurants.
He does.
To kill anything that life is given to is a big thing with me.
Right.
You don't kill anything. Until it comes to an end of life, you do something humanely. But you don't grow, you don't farm. I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. I don't want to see animals killed. I don't want to see anything inhumane.
So you're saying only vegetarian restaurants should be allowed?
Well, yes. Yes, Yes, if I'm to stand by my book of morals.
And is this this is not just this is an ethical issue for you, basically? That's
yes, yes.
And how long have you been vegetarian?
I didn't choose this. I'm very humane, and I just cannot kill anything.
Would you describe yourself as vegetarian or vegan?
Vegan, you know, I do eat a little bit of fish.
So you're not vegan?
Well, only when I have to.
What kind of circumstances would you be in that you would have to eat fish?
Just a taste.
Okay.
A taste. But I think people are just doing inhuman things to animals and sea fish and overfishing our seas through greed.
Right. I do think, though, you have undermined your argument a fair bit by actually having taste of fish now and again.
Only when I need it, not to overuse it. Moderation.
Right. So it's okay to have fish.
Does that make sense to you?
And well, it doesn't really. I kind of think if you feel very strongly about taking life where life has been given, I find it difficult to see how you are okay then with eating fish in moderation.
Only when life has come to end.
But sure, it was brought to an end so that people like you could eat it.
Well, I'm not going out there killing them or farming them.
Okay. So I'm struggling with your logic, Brenda, that as long as you're not doing it yourself, you don't, you know, is that a lesser sin in your book?
No, all I'm saying is, you know, people have got to be very greedy, and the whole generation of these years, in the last generation and the generations before us, we only ate what we needed.
Right.
We're now in a generation, go out there and put 30 and 40 euro into a lobster.
Right. So it's the greed around it.
The greed.
Right. But you plan your life around eating vegetables mainly, except the odd bit of fish.
An odd bit. And if I do eat the fish, it would be a salmon.
Why?
And only, and that would be a treat.
And why particularly salmon?
Well, they're oily, they're good, it's in our history, they're knowledgeable people that, you know, they're good, it's very good.
It's a salmon of knowledge you're talking about.
Yes.
All right. I just had a flashback to my childhood.
But what I'm trying to say is people are out there and they're on the seas and they're just taking so much from our nature. That they don't, you know, what I'm trying to say is really just take what you need.
But your people have to earn a living as well. There's fishers out there that have to earn
a living.
They have family. They have families to feed as well. You know, there's whole towns built around that industry that depend on that, Brenda.
I do. I understand that. But
and so you wouldn't have your bit of salmon when you want it if they didn't do it, if they didn't produce it.
Would you like to be put in a pot for 10 seconds?
I wouldn't, no.
Or anybody else in the country?
I don't think so, but
it's a cruel way. There's better ways of making a living and more humane ways.
Okay. Okay, Brenda, many thanks. Will you hang on there, Brenda? I want to bring in Mairead.
Okay.
Yeah, hang on. Mairead, good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. Would you agree with Brenda there?
I think everyone is entitled to their own opinions on what they want to do and what they live, you know, what way they live their lives. I eat everything. I don't eat lobster. I would cook it for my husband.
Oh, you would cook it, would you? How do you cook it?
Well, what I had said to the girl I was speaking to there, your on the eye line there,
mm-hmm.
friend, I had said that Theodora Fitzgibbon, whom I met, and her idea was you put the lobster into lukewarm water and bring it up slowly, and the lobster goes asleep and is not stressed. And then you can...
Right.
Finish it off. Indeed.
Now, I may be wrong, but
Can I ask you a question?
That has been discredited as a...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Sorry, who's that? Brenda?
Why pay so much money to put such hardship on some little animal, crustaceous animal, that won't even fill you anyway? That should be a starter on most menus. They don't even fill you.
Ah, well, you could actually get quite the nice dinner out of a lobster, I have to say, Brenda, a good sized lobster. Sorry, but Mairead, I get your point. But Mairead, Brenda just has an issue with the idea of inflicting pain in any shape or form.
She already inflicted it by saying you bring the water up to a warm temperature. You don't do that to anything alive. They all have feelings. They feel pain.
I'm only quoting what I was told by a person.
You were told it.
I was told it, but not trying to understand
it.
I've no problems understanding.
Would you like to be put into something going up hotter?
Well, okay. It'd be better than being dropped into something scalding and screaming, yeah.
Yeah, but would you still like it?
Not particularly, would you?
No, that's why I'm on the show.
Well, then, you be happy with what you're doing. I've no problems with anything. I eat everything. I eat meat. I eat some fish. I eat loads of vegetables and I grow some.
Mm. And you've no issue at all handling lobsters? Because I know a lot of people are kind of quite queasy handling shellfish like that, Mairead.
Brenda,
and for such a long time, I listened to the other part of the show. They have a great longevity, which means they have a great brain. And they have feeling. So they have longevity, so they feel everything.
Okay, Brenda, will you let Mairead just finish her point, though? Mairead, I was asking you about whether you had issues, like, if you're all queasy or have any issues around handling lobsters.
I'm not particularly. It wouldn't be a fish. It wouldn't be something I would use very often. I mean, I can't remember when I cooked the last one. It could be a couple of years back.
But you know,
it's not something I do.
When you say you put them into mildly warm water and then heat them up gradually,
they go asleep. This was her theory that I got from Brenda Theodora. Years and years ago, back in the 80s.
But how do they respond when you put them into the mildly warm water? Do they go quite quickly, or how?
They would just go asleep gradually. You wouldn't be bringing it up to the boil in a hurry. You would just let them relax and go asleep. That was her theory. But apart from all that, if you're talking about cruelty, there's an amazing amount of cruelty to dogs, cats, all sorts of animals, birds, all over the place. You know, it's something none of us like. Mm. And you see those pictures on television of the animals that they rescue. And it's dreadful. So, I mean, people are cruel.
Yeah, but you don't see this as any form of cruelty.
But I'm not cruel.
Mairead.
I'd never cook a lobster,
even in warm
water.
Well, some of the methods I've heard now I wouldn't dream of.
Okay.
I did do it. I told you that my mother got lobsters many years ago when I was a child, and I'm a big child now, I'm 80. And we put them into boiling water. And I got the job of doing it a couple of times, and I had to literally put them in, put the lid on and run away because I couldn't stand the noise.
Why?
So
because do they try to claw back out?
It was for a short space of time, but they were banging off the edge of the pot.
Yeah, you were
so
sensitive.
That's where I would think it was cruel.
Oh, so when you put them in, they do react that way, yeah?
Well, they would be alive and they would move in the water because water is where they live.
Yeah, but when you boil them, by Jesus, that's like putting them into a concentration camp.
If you throw them into boiling water, yes, I wouldn't like to be doing
reaction.
That.
And that's what you're doing to the creature.
Well, no, but in fairness, well, Brenda, Mairead is saying she hasn't done that since she was a child.
No, she hasn't. But she embraces the thought. She knows it comes back. You can't do that to an animal.
Mairead,
or a creature.
Can I just ask you...
Unless you need it.
Okay. I just want to ask Mairead, because she actually... as she says herself, did it a long time ago and you still remember it, obviously, Mairead. Did they make any other noise? Like, do they make a noise when they go into the water?
A noise from themselves? No,
yeah.
they bang themselves off the edge of the saucepan.
Lord God.
Well, I mean, the other person who was on said that it only lasts 10 seconds.
No, I never heard that in my life. Because there was
hurt
here.
There was somebody on. I'm not talking about you. I'm saying that there was another person on who said that they would drop them into boiling water and that's how they... Yeah. Earlier in the programme.
Yes, Paul. That was Paul was talking about his uncles who were fishermen. And,
I've seen them on television doing the skewer thing and...
No. There's better ways of making money.
Okay, I need to take another break. Stay with us, all of you, and we'll be back to this after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And I want to bring in George now. George, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
I'm very well. George, would you be a vegan now?
No, gosh, no. not a vegan or a vegetarian. I've eaten meat for the last 71 years of my life, and I intend to eat it for the rest of my life. Now, at the same time, anybody who is a vegan or a vegetarian, I have the uttermost respect for them. That's their life. That's they want to go, but don't preach it to me. The only other thing I want to say is that think about all the other things. For example, people who keep snakes as pets and they put in live mice into the cage for the snakes to eat. You know, there's another case. I remember as a child, my mother, when I was living in Wexford Town, I'm now living in Kilkenny, living in Wexford Town, my mother going down to the quays and buying the lobsters and crabs, the massive crabs, that is, off the fishermen on the quay. This is going back 60, 70 years. And then bringing them home, putting them into the pots of boiling water. And literally, as that person said there recently, banging against the side of the pots. But also, I've actually seen lobsters trying to climb out of the pots. And I think that's utterly crazy. I think that an earlier man there suggested, yes, kill them humanely before they go into the pots, etc., much more, you know. But then again, you see, you've got to take 60, 70 years ago. What did we know? Nothing. You know,
but according to Paul that was on at the start of the programme, that's still happening. He was saying that's just the way it's done.
What I want to say is we know a lot more now than they did 60 or 70 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying too. But I'm just saying don't stuff veganism and vegetarianism down my throat.
No, I'm not
Thanks
doing that.
Much.
No.
When I was listening to you earlier, you seemed to be suggesting that there should be no cruelty at all.
Suggesting is a kinder word to use.
You take an animal, say heifer, bull, whatever, has to be slaughtered and take them into the slaughtering house and they're killed humanely the same way as hopefully lobsters.
But they're not
today.
Actually, because they already smell death. That's not humanely.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I do.
Like, you therefore want everybody to go through life eating lettuce?
No, only eat what they can take from nature at latter stages, you know.
Yeah, well, there you go. You see, you're preaching to me, which I totally
disagree
with.
No, I'm not preaching. Don't use that word
with me. You're telling me to eat non-meat.
No, I'm not.
Well, you've said,
Brenda, to a bit of salmon. Hold on.
The salmon of knowledge.
Mm.
But Brenda, you did start off saying you thought nobody should be, that people shouldn't be going out and eating meat and that it was cruel. Was that not your starting position?
Not or making a business out of it.
But how are people going to get meat unless other people prepare? Are you saying if you can kill the lamb or the cow yourself, it's okay to eat it, but not if you buy it from a butcher's?
close down on butcher.
So really, if you really want me to go back, I'll go back into the hunter scene and the B blood type and the A blood type.
Okay, I don't do that, Brenda. I beg you, don't go that far back.
It'll be another show. But what I'm saying is there's more than enough out there for us to eat besides slaughtering animals and killing lobsters and overfishing our seas for gluttony.
Okay, Brenda, and George, stay there as well. I want to bring in Michael. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
You have boiled lobsters, have you? Am I right in that?
I have eaten lobster in the past, not knowing what way it was killed and so on. And I think, you know, if the science is telling us now that the animal suffers pain and stuff like that, and there's a better way of doing it, I've no problem with that. And I've equally no problem with somebody who chooses not to eat meat or fish or whatever. But I think there's a small point that's often lost. You know, cultivating the land for the production of vegetables also has an impact on animals. You know, if you clear large swathes of natural forests or ground, you're removing the ecological environment in which animals survive.
Yes.
You know, so is that a moral question as well that people should be having?
But the only one in not as severe a way. It's not putting the nature into the boiling pot.
Well, I'm not suggesting that at all. What I'm saying is that there's an impact with everything you do. And if you clear large swathes of natural landscape that has forests, that has rocks, that has grasses, in which animals survive,
that's
you know,
the
are you not impacting long-term on the animals?
Don't get me into that argument, because I'm already on that as well. All I want, nature will survive, and you cannot kill anything unless it's needed by your body in nature.
Well, there's lots of species out there who hunt, kill, tear other animals asunder.
Well, they're wrong.
And put them in terrible pain in order to eat and survive.
Kill.
There's lots of animals do that. And in the ecological sense, we're animals too. You know, we're part of the food chain. And while I wouldn't advocate ever hurting any animal for anything, there are consequences to other sources of action to take, like clearing lands just for the production of vegetables. It has an impact. You know, the debate that goes on about the hedgerows and so on. So there are other impacts. There's always consequences. There's always other impacts. And I suppose the most respectful thing to do is to respect what other people prefer rather than criticise them. You know, just to, okay, you don't like to eat fish or animals because you have certain reservations about that.
It's a humane thing.
But
to do the right thing, Michael. To do the right thing.
Humane means human. And you're talking about, you know, an animal carrying another animal asunder.
Like, would you like to be put in a pot?
If a seal tears the head off a lobster at sea, I'm sure it momentarily suffers the same pain in the same way as a whale will play with a seal before killing it, injuring it, and so on. It's everywhere. It's all around us.
If we
have the moral integrity, you know, to be able to say, well,
we're pulling things from nature. We're pulling things aggressively out of nature.
Not at all. I don't think that the...
And nature is reacting.
The fishermen who work around our coast work very, very hard to earn a living.
My grandfather and his father before him and the father before him and all the generations are fishermen.
Oh, so you come from fishermen. That's your family background, Brenda.
Claga.
But and you're telling me now you don't think that those fishermen have a right to earn a living.
But they only did it to provide for a family, not the greed of the big haulers that are going out there with their nets and taking everything and doing. My grandfather would have done everything humanely.
So your grandfather wouldn't have killed lobsters in the way that every other fisherman apparently was killing lobsters at the time.
He didn't fish for lobster. He fished for herring and mackerel.
Right. So you're quite clear that none of your forebearers would ever have boiled a lobster.
No, and if anybody on the internet can prove me wrong, I'll give them €1,000 because they never did that.
But there would have been nothing wrong with that up until quite recently. That would have been absolutely the most normal thing in the world to do if you pulled in a lobster by accident, or if you had an extra lobster that you didn't sell.
Well, that's how you would.
Are you saying
if you pull a lobster out by accident, you put it back in? That's the way nature works.
But that's not the way fishing businesses work now, generally.
No, you're talking the business word again.
But ultimately, it is a business for everybody who needs to feed a family, isn't it?
When you have a business in life, there'll be some consequences to nature.
Right. But... You're saying...
I know, I sound like I'm talking daft, but I know what I'm talking about.
Michael, can I ask you now, would you ask a question if you were in a restaurant and you ordered, we'll go back to lobster because that's where we started, you ordered lobster, would you ask them how they cooked it? Would that bother you to the degree
no,
that you'd ask?
I've never asked either about how the steak arrived on my plate or... how the, you know, the fish was caught.
Like going over to the Ukraine and asking if you can build a house.
I know that science improves our understanding of things as times progress. What was considered normal in the past may be considered normal now, and I would expect that people would do the decent thing. But I haven't made a point of asking how was that pork slaughtered or how was that beef or how was that fish caught.
Well, do think about it the next time, Michael. Because, you know, I knew a man one time. I'll tell you a story now on this.
Is it a short story?
Very short.
Okay.
He got two pigs. And I went over looking at them one day. And I says, oh, Jesus, you'll have to let them out into the yard and go running around. And he says, no, I'll fatten them up and they'll be brought to the butcher. And I never spoke to that man again. I thought it a terrible thing.
What, that the pigs were not going to be free range?
No, they were just left in a shed, fed the best, and brought to the butcher. And that's what people do.
But would you have objected to the
business side? But he didn't even need the business side.
But you'd have no issue with those pigs having been brought to the butcher if they'd had a nice life beforehand.
Correct. Just give everything good. Give everything good. That's what I'm trying to say. And, you know, when it comes to end of life, then you can, you know, do that thing.
That thing. Hmm. Okay, while we contemplate that thing, we'll take another break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I want to bring in Niall Duffy now. Niall, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Tracy, good afternoon.
You are the editor of The Skipper.
That's right.
So you know a lot about lobsters.
Well, I've fished them, I've killed them, I've eaten them. I eat them every day if I have the chance. But I think there's a few misconceptions about the whole lobster fishing industry have been mentioned earlier. So lobster is very tightly controlled as to the size of lobster. You cannot catch and land juvenile lobsters. You cannot catch and land lobsters with eggs on them. And you cannot catch the older mature lobsters either. So there's only a certain size limit that you can catch.
And is there a time of year where you're allowed, or is it a year-round fishing?
It's year-round fishing, but it tends to happen more like from spring up until the end of autumn, you know. Most lobsters are caught inshore by small vessels. The small artisanal fishermen that would have pots and go out in smaller boats just out in the morning, back in the evening.
Right, not these big trawlers that Brenda was worried about there.
No. They're not caught on nets. They're not dragged out to sea floor. They're caught in baited pots.
Right.
Because with lobsters, you have to land them alive. And you must keep them alive until the time of cooking. If a lobster dies naturally, it will poison its own meat. So the idea of cooking a lobster straight after it's been killed is to preserve the quality of the meat.
Yes, I think that's what, yeah, we probably should have, that's important to explain. Why is this idea that you sell them live and you know, they're live until moments before they're cooked? It's that if they die, there is toxins, isn't there?
They generate their own toxins if they die naturally. So the last thing you want to do is try to kill lobster that's been killed or has died, you know, like hours before. And it's to preserve the quality of the meat. And I think the days of boarding are long gone. It may still be with people who catch lobsters themselves or give them a gift of a lobster at home, that they may still use that old method of throwing them into a pan of water. But most catering establishments and chefs would dispatch them by using a spike or a heavy knife straight into the bone, killing them instantly.
Okay.
There are some chefs that like to pop them in the freezer there for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And when you do that to a lobster, it goes into a sort of a hibernation.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of lobsters that are transported live from Ireland all over Europe, and they will be kept in chilled seawater, and they actually just go to sleep. And you can actually keep a lobster for weeks on end in chilled seawater without any detrimental effect to the lobster.
And when you see these lobster liberators now taking them out of the...
Yeah, well, I remember being on Liveline back in 2014 and 15 where they'd liberated them and brought them out to Malahide Estuary, which was not a good habitat for lobsters. So I'd say those lobsters didn't have a very good life after they were dumped in the estuary in Malahide because it wouldn't be their natural environment. Soft mud, they tend to live on rocky shores. So I think while the intentions of these people might have been good, I don't think the outcome would have been a preferable one.
You think the lobsters might have been better off back in the fish tank?
Yes.
On death row,
yeah.
Niall.
Yeah, and we also have a situation where there is American lobsters that are imported live into Ireland by some of these restaurants, and by releasing them into the wild, they would be classed as an invasive species and... they could threaten our native population of lobsters.
All right, so it could actually have other unintended consequences.
Yes. And they've experienced that in the UK where people have brought live American lobsters and liberated them and thrown them in, and they've caused damage to the local lobster populations.
Right, okay. Okay, Niall, thank you for that. Your line isn't great. I let you go, but I appreciate your expertise on all of this. I want to bring in Joan now. Joan, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, you're vegan, are you, Joan?
I am. I'm a vegan now for a couple of years. I wasn't for the, you know, previous 50-odd years, but yes, I am now. And I think that's because I actually, you know, found out about animals, about their sentience, and didn't want to continue eating them. And also, of course, you know, if you've no regard whatsoever for animals, at least consider the environmental damage that's happening at the moment.
And when you say...
Currently, 37.1% of Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions is coming from the dairy, from agriculture. So that is massive. You know, we were supposed to be meeting, certain standards for the Paris Agreement. How can we possibly... We're actually increasing our herds. We're constantly looking for new markets. I believe it's Israel now, the Middle East. Jordan, a shipment arrived in Jordan just today. 1,500 Irish young bulls were sent there. They've been 15 days at sea, and they will be slaughtered in a most inhumane manner. So, you know, for all your guests talking about humanity and humane slaughtering, there is no such a thing.
But would you push? I think obviously that is a big issue that there's been a lot of activism around over many years. You know, the live cattle being transported and slaughtered in other places in other circumstances. But would you put like lobsters into the same bracket? Because I think when you talk about sentient animals.
Yes, because recently the UK government has actually decreed that lobsters are sentient. Now, to meet that criteria, they had to actually, I believe, now I'm not an expert on lobsters, I was literally driving along and I tuned into your show. They had to meet 8 specific criteria. Now, I hear your guests talking about pain, but that's just one of them. They've an ability to learn, apparently. They can anticipate danger or opportunities. You know, they've many other abilities besides pain. So 8 specific ones, as I say, you know, not just pain. So to know this now today and still be saying it's okay to skewer a lobster through the head or to put it into boiling water, or the most ridiculous argument I heard of all was the lady, you know, putting them, bringing them slowly to the boil, just because some cook who probably has no background whatsoever in animal sentience has told her it's okay. I think we all know the truth. Animals are sentient, and you know, we just don't want to admit it. We have many alternatives. The arguments that the seal catches a lobster is ridiculous. The seal is in the wild. It can't go to Tesco. You and I can go to Tesco. We have hundreds of foods to sample. And again, just let me say one thing. I'm a little tired of the vegan bashing. You know, the guy who, Michael or George, I think was, oh, you just want me to eat lettuce all my life. No, I don't. I want you to eat hundreds of different grains, beans, many food types, other than maybe 3 or 4 types of meat.
And can I ask you, did you have a sort of a road to Damascus conversion on this? Or was this something that was growing with you over many years?
I'll actually tell you what. Well, okay, my one of my daughters was questioning things from an early age. And, you know, I was kind of supporting her a little bit. And so, you know, starting to question my food choices, really. But my husband, who's actually from a dairy farm, I was vegetarian at one point, and he said to me, oh, what about the poor little calves? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, they take the calves away as soon as they're born. So, and I never honestly, that was that, you know, epiphany moment, I think. I did not realise.
Joan, where did you think the milk was coming from? Surely if the calves were there, they'd be having the milk.
I didn't think the calves would be removed within hours of birth or within days. I thought in my stupidity, innocence, all of the above, that perhaps they were living a couple of months with their mother until they were naturally weaned. That is not the case. It is the opposite. And you know, yeah, so what happens to calves, particularly actually male calves born into the dairy industry, is horrific. You know, we're shipping them to veal farms in Europe at 10 days old. They're not weaned. They're not able to be fed. It's a horror show. I honestly cannot think of anything else. But you know what? If you have no conscience, no regard for animals, that's fine. Think of the planet. Think of your children, the future generations, and all the damage that has been done. You know, there's just, we don't have any excuses anymore. You know, we're all on the internet. We know. I think we need to stop burying our head in the sand. And I really think we need to stop vegan bashing, actually, because that is the single thing you can do. Single thing you can do to make most impact in terms of climate action and the environment. You know, and yes, it's just like, I suppose about 2 years ago, I would have apologized to people. I would have said, listen, I'm really sorry. Sorry, you know, I'm vegan. Do you have anything? I'm not apologizing anymore. I'm done with that. I really am.
Okay, Joan, stay there. Bring on, can I have John? John Chamberlain, please.
I'm sure. How are you doing?
Hiya, John.
Right, I'd like to be able to correct a couple of things about lobsters, because that's the main topic. Now, first of all, there is a very, very good program put in place by the government through BIM and all our local fishermen. You can bring in a female lobster who has eggs, which was said incorrectly earlier on. Show them that you have it. The lobster is marked and you're forced to release it. Now, that's right. That, and of course, so the business of the small lobsters, you don't bring those in either. Now, on one occasion, I have had for over 20 years a shellfish hatchery where I rear juvenile fish from the egg to market size.
What kind of fish?
I was rearing sea urchins. Now, that's a favourite food, by the way, of the lobster.
Right.
A fisherman on one occasion brought me in a lobster that had the berries on her, or the eggs, and I reared those eggs until they hatched. Now, when they hatched out, they were like tiny little earwigs, and there were thousands of them. And on one particular lobster, I reared it until it was big enough for market size, and that took 2 years. Now, the proof of it is there if anybody wants to see it, because there was a local national school teacher that each time that little lobster molted and grew a little bigger, he kept the shell. So he has about 26 or 7 shells growing from the size of an earwig up to a decent-sized lobster. So they only take 2 years or thereabouts to be able to breed. So somebody said it took them about 10 years. That's rubbish. It only takes a very short space of time. Now, the result here in this bay in Dunmanis, and I'm not a fisherman, is that the fishermen are catching loads of tiny little lobsters, not much bigger than a prawn, which proves that by doing this and releasing the females back into the sea untouched, that they are producing more and more babies. That means that Ireland is probably one of the most sustainable areas for growing young lobsters anywhere around. The country itself is very, very good at doing this. Now, catching lobsters, as the guy before from the fisherman's program said, is done by small inshore boats. And it's a living. It's a way of making a living. Now, I hate the idea of cruelty to any animal. I would eat lobsters. I would eat any form of animal, to be honest with you, and have done.
How would you cook them, though, John?
I would have boiled them. I don't like doing it. But the only secret I found is not to be greedy, as you said, or as one of your people said. When you have a good pot of boiling water, only put in one. Don't put in two or three and try and do something, because you cool the water down too much and the poor creature takes too long to die. But if you just put a big pot of boiling water with one lobster, he dies very quickly. 2 or 3 seconds, I would honestly think.
Would you do that regularly? Like, would you have done that recently?
Oh, the last time I did it would be about 2 years ago. I have done it quite a lot, but I don't enjoy doing it. I prefer doing crabs.
Do they kind of try and climb out of the pot and bang the sides of the pots?
That might be a bit of a kind of emotive. They do curl up and make a noise by hitting the side of the pot when they go in there. And that literally only lasts a couple of seconds, but I don't like it. If I knew a cruel-less way of killing a lobster, I would do it that way.
Well, apparently there's videos on YouTube, according to Gary told us at the start of the programme, that, you know, all young chefs now are taught a more humane way to to immediately kill a lobster if you get them at a particular point of their body. So maybe look it up on YouTube, I suppose, is the advice there. But you'd do it again tomorrow, would you, John?
I would, yes. But as I say, I don't like doing it. It's not one of my favourite pastimes. And people don't do this for the sake of cruelty.
No,
they do it for the sake of eating something.
Right. OK, Joan, what do you make of that?
I think that's, frankly, a ridiculous argument. You know, I mean, come on. You've eaten hundreds, thousands of alternatives without eating and killing a sentient animal. Come on. It's just nonsensical. It really is. And, I mean, you know, if you really feel that bad about it, just don't do it. Look for alternatives. There are many alternatives. We're not hunter-gatherers. I'm actually sitting outside my local Tesco store. I'm hardly going to go in and shoot something in there. No, I'm not. I'm going in to get a vast array of food that is available to me, as it is to you. You don't need to torture an animal by boiling it. And by the way, the man who suggested releasing a lobster, again, you know, from fishmongers or whatever, that's another dreadful thing, because lobsters are very shy, private creatures. So actually keeping them in activity in bright light places for weeks on end before we humanely kill them is not exactly, you know, a nice life for them either. I mean, none of us is good.
Okay. I think I have to take my last break. I'll take my last break. Thanks, John.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And that is all that we have time for today and indeed for this week. Today's show was produced by Fergus Sweeney. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon. On sound was Pather Carney. From all the team here, enjoy the rest of your weekend or enjoy all your weekend. Ray Darcy is up next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.